The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 1st through Sunday, June 7th, 2026. The commentary for June was written by Tina Francis, a writer, photographer, and seminarian pursuing the priesthood in the Episcopal Church. Born to South Indian parents, raised in Dubai, and shaped in Canada and Seattle, she carries many homes in her bones, an atlas of memory and migration. The commentary for Monday, June 1st, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 47. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And it is on this Monday, June 1st, that we celebrate and commemorate the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Here's a commentary. I grew up near Lake Superior, and even now, even though I live in landlocked Switzerland, I still love lighthouses. My favorite, the Split Rock Lighthouse, guided ships from 1910 to 1969, first by kerosene lamp and then by a 1,000-watt bulb. While its official range was 22 miles, Split Rock's beacon was sometimes spotted more than 60 miles away. All this from a single light source. But it's not just the light, it's the light plus a lens. Split Rock had a third-order Fresnel lens, which uses concentric sections to refract and reflect. Its multiple prisms radiate outward to magnify the light inside. We all have a light inside, the light of Christ, the spark of our Creator, and we all have a Fresnel lens. Like lighthouse keepers, it's our duty to keep our lenses clean, to wipe away the soot and the grime, and to amplify Christ's life so that it is visible far and wide. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 57. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And the moving forward question for this Monday, June 1st, is, how do you keep your lens clean? What spiritual practices might help you? The commentary for Tuesday, June 2nd, begins with a passage from Galatians chapter 1, verse 23. They only heard it said, "The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy." Life would be easier if we can make decisions once and for all. It would be great if we could resolutely determine that this is how we live our lives, that this is what we're called to do. But we know life doesn't work like that. Paul knew it too. He had been completely convinced that he was right in persecuting Christians, right up until his conversion on the road to Damascus. After that, after the scales fell away, he knew the importance of keeping his eyes open. Things change. The world around us changes. God doesn't change, but we change, and thus the perspective from which we perceive God changes. So God may look different to us the next time we stop long enough to look. We need to keep our eyes open, constantly watching for what lies ahead, even if it doesn't match what we imagine, and even if we have to change course in order to get there. And now I'm going to read from this passage for today from Galatians chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 10. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, "The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy," and they glorified God because of me. Then after 14 years, I, Paul, went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up in response to a revelation. Then I laid before them, though only in a private meeting with the acknowledged leaders, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. But because of false believers, secretly bought in, he who slipped in to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might enslave us. We did not submit to them, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might always remain with you. And from those who were supposed to be acknowledged leaders, what they actually were makes no difference to me, God shows no partiality, those leaders contributed nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel for the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter, making him an apostle to the circumcised, also worked through me in sending me to the Gentiles, and when James and Cephas and John, who were acknowledged pillars, recognized the grace that had been given to me, they gave to Barnabas and me the right hand of fellowship, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what I was eager to do. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, June 2nd, do you need to change course? Pray for strength and guidance. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, June 3rd, the day on which we commemorate the martyrs of Uganda. It begins with a passage from Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 7. A time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. My husband is hard on socks. He wears holes in them abnormally often, so once every few months I gather up the torn ones and sit down to darn them. I'm not a gifted seamstress. In most cases, after I'm done, the socks look worse than they did before. Everything is mended with bright blue embroidery thread, because that's all I have. When a hole is too big, I graft on a patch from an unsalvageable sock. My blanket stitch is large and garish. These Franken socks, as we call them, aren't pretty, but they have a certain monstrous charm. I know that people don't darn much anymore, and he could always just buy more socks, but I spend most of my days at the computer, so it's nice to have something to do with my hands that isn't typing. When I'm mending socks, my mind can wander. There's no pressure, no urgency, just one stitch after another. I don't darn socks so that the socks are darned. There's a time to speak, a time to tear, and a time to sit in silence and sow. And now I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is, and God seeks out what has gone by. And the moving forward question for this day is, find a bit of holy handiwork. Now the commentary for Thursday, June 4th, the day on which we commemorate Pope John the 23rd, begins with a passage from Psalm 84, verse 1. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts! My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. On the western tip of Wales, outside the city of St. David's, there's a windswept ruin of an ancient chapel dedicated to Saint Non. The stones still hold the semblance of structure, remnants of walls, and a holy well. It's so close to the ocean that the wind catches the spray and covers the site with a fine layer of mist. I was there in early March, and I was chilled to the bone. The ruined chapel was indeed holy, austere, unfettered, clear, and thin. It was fully exposed to the elements and to God. There was no place to hide, and the cold was invigorating. Not far away, there's a more modern chapel constructed in 1934 from the stones of other ruins. I stepped inside and was struck by the stillness. This chapel was cold, but an orderly cold, without the wind or the sea spray or the mist. God was there too. In that dwelling place, different, but just as holy. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart was the high are the highways to Zion, as they go through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, pay attention as you go about your day, and where do you sense God dwelling? Now the commentary for Friday, June 5th, the day on which we commemorate St. Boniface. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 26. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Here's the commentary. "It was late, and I was tired, and I hadn't seen a single other car on the drive up the mountain pass. There was no moon, but the stars were bright, silhouetting the mountain peaks against the Milky Way like a stock photo on a motivational poster. I pulled over and jumped out, planning to snap a quick picture, a pleasant diversion on a long, dark drive. But it wasn't pleasant. It was terrifying. I felt dizzy, disoriented. Looking up into the heavens was like looking down from a great height. My stomach lurched, and I swore I was falling. I backed up against the car, gripping the door handle because it was the only thing tethering me to earth. As I looked into the universe, I felt so small." German theologian Rudolf Otto coined the term mysterium tremendum et fascinans, a mystery that is both terrifying and fascinating. It describes the numinous aspect of God that transcends our rational understanding. Standing there on that mountain pass, staring into the vastness of God's creation, I was terrified and fascinated. And now I'm going to read the gospel passage from Matthew today, chapter 14, verse 22 to 36. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. After the people of that place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. And the moving forward question for today, think of a place where you have viscerally experienced the majesty of God. Can you make plans to visit it again? The commentary for Saturday, June 6th, begins with a passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. "This is what I have seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun the few days of the life God gives us. For this is our lot." Feierabend is a German term for the end of the day, between getting off work and going to bed. Made up of Feiern, to celebrate, and Abend, meaning evening. It's a time for leisure, maybe enjoying a Feierabend beer with friends, or picking up a loaf of Feierabend Brot, baked in the afternoon so it's fresh for dinner. Both the term and the concept have religious roots. Originally, Feierabend meant that the night before a feast day. Church bells rang a bit before sundown to signify the end of the working day and call people to evening prayer. In medieval Germanic culture, there were a lot of feast days, so the term eventually came to mean the end of any work day. In many places here in Switzerland, church bells still ring around 6 p.m. They are a call to stop toiling and to relax, to eat and drink, to reflect and to find enjoyment in the work that God calls us to do. And now Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 8 through 20. "If you see in a province the oppression of the poor and the violation of justice and right, do not be amazed at the matter, for the high official is watched by a higher, and there are yet higher ones over them. But all things considered, this is an advantage for a land, a king for a plowed field. The lover of money will not be satisfied with money, nor the lover of wealth with gain. This all is vanity. When goods increase, those who eat them increase, and what gain has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of laborers, whether they eat little or much, but the surfeit of the rich will not let them sleep. There is a grievous ill that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owners to their hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. Though they are parents of children, they have nothing in their hands. As they came from their mother's womb, so they shall go again, naked as they came. They shall take nothing for their toil, which they may carry away with their hands. This also is a grievous ill. Just as they came, so they shall go. And what gain do they have from toiling for the wind? Besides, all their days they eat in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and resentment. This is what I have seen to be good. It is fitting to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of the life God gives us. For this is our lot. Likewise, all to whom God gives wealth and possessions, and whom he enables to enjoy them, and to accept their lot and find enjoyment in their toil, this is the gift of God. For they will scarcely brood over the days of their lives, because God keeps them occupied with the joy of their hearts. And the moving forward question for this day is, how do you mark the end of the day? Now, as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to Sunday, June 7th. The commentary begins with a psalm from Psalm 50, verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the whole world is mine and all that is in it. This Sunday also is the second Sunday of Pentecost, and here's the commentary. God doesn't need us to make dinner. That might be a slight paraphrase, but in Psalm 50, the Israelite sacrifices are becoming perfunctory. They're going through the motions, serving up bull calves and he-goats to cross the offering task off their to-do list. It's clear they were missing the point. I miss the point sometimes, too. I have a daily calendar reminder in the middle of each workday to remember God. Most of the time it's helpful. When the reminder pops up, I pause, take a breath, and spend a few moments in gratitude. Sometimes, though, I dash off a quick perfunctory prayer to check the box and then move to the next item on my list. Now as then, worshiping God is not a task to be completed or a chore to be done. God doesn't need us to worship, just like God doesn't need us to make dinner. We pray, worship, and spend time with God because we need it. And when we find ourselves tempted to simply check the box, that's when we need it the most. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, June 7th, the second Sunday of Pentecost, is how can you put God at the top of your to-do list? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.